Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, happy Halloween. I guess it is that day, isn't it? Don't we celebrate Halloween tonight? Old Hallows Eve. Even though there's 31 days in October, isn't tonight? 30 days, half September, April, June. Yeah, 31 days. But I think tonight's Halloween, trick-or-treat. I could be wrong. I don't know. I watched David Arthur yesterday. Did a good presentation on why do Christians celebrate Halloween? You know, it's one of those traditions that's really, really hard for us to kick, isn't it? Stay with me just a second. I'm not gonna pee in the punch bowl here. Halloween, Christmas, Easter. None of them are Christian. None of those holidays are. Now they've tried to Christianize them, but none of them are. Jesus wasn't born December 24th, 25th. Jesus wasn't born that. And you know that when we celebrate Christmas, the pagans celebrate Christmas, right? Everybody celebrates Christmas. So what's Christmas being the recognition of the day designed for the recognition of the birth of Jesus. That's not really what had happened in the pagan roots of the winter solstice and all that stuff that goes on December 21st. Folks, that's not Christmas. Do we celebrate Christmas? Yeah, I hate to say we do. Should we? And Halloween? My goodness, how many churches we see now have, as David pointed out yesterday, trunk or treat or harvest festivals or whatever, again trying to mimic the world and not understanding how the deep, deep darkness of Halloween. Hey, folks, come on now. Halloween's all about death, right? It's all about death. And if we go back and we look at the pagan roots of Halloween, we wouldn't be celebrating it. Somebody asked me this yesterday. Said, hey, would you want to be dressed up as in a costume or a witch or a vampire? Or would you want your kids, your grandkids dressed up as any of those things when Jesus returns? I thought, wow, that wouldn't be very smart. Easter, we know what happened with Easter, right? Easter is the first, 40 days after the first full moon, after the winter equinox. Something like that, somewhere along in. So it's pagan as well. And we celebrate all these pagan holidays. Christians do. Christians. I'm not a bah humbug guy. I think it's so cute to watch my grandkids go get candy. We teach them to be little socialists. Go get free handouts. I understand all that. I understand it, folks. It doesn't glorify the Lord. Sorry. Doesn't glorify the Lord. All right. Bah humbug. I'll get off of that. And David, if you didn't see David's show yesterday, it'll be worth it. And I want to thank David, the Alphabet Man. He drove down here yesterday. He and I cannot get video. I get a couple good videos on my phone. I can't get them off my phone. I don't know how to do it. David thought he did. We cannot get these videos off. So he tried hard to do it. And then he put together a video for us that we're going to show later on here. But I got a couple points I want to make here before we get really, really rolling. Yeah, let's go there first. Hey, Chad. Let's go to a Chad. I'm sorry. Jared, let's go to my PayPal email. This hit me yesterday. Now, we've been raising funds for the hurricane, and I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit, too. But I got this email yesterday. Okay, Jared, so give me that. So I'm sending David Arthur's here. Actually, he was here, and we were in the studio, and I was doing some work trying to get these videos off. And I was looking for something on, some code or whatever to come. Whatever, doesn't matter. Check my email and boom, pops up. I said, what? What? Here it is. Dear Dave Dobenmeyer. That'd be me. We have recently reviewed your usage of PayPal services as reflected in our records and on your website, CoachDaveLive.com. Due to the nature of your activities, I guess hurricane relief, we've chosen to discontinue service to you in accordance with PayPal's user agreement. As a result, we have placed a permanent limitation on your account. We ask that you please remove all references to PayPal from your website. This includes removing PayPal as a payment option, as well as PayPal logo and or shopping. If you have a remaining balance, you may withdraw the money to your bank account. Information on how to withdraw money from your PayPal account can be found via our help center. We thank you in advance for your cooperation. If you have any questions or need our support, please contact the PayPal Brand Risk Management Department. Sincerely, PayPal Brand Risk Management. In other words, what they just said to me is, you can't use our service. Why can't they use my service anymore? Because why can't they use their service? Because what?
Because you're now trying to subvert society. You're trying to fix things. And you're not a sodomite. You're not a tranny. You're not a weirdo.
So because of that, you
don't have the right to use their service.
That's where we're heading, folks. And you don't want to believe this stuff. We try to tell people this is going on. And I've got several things I could get into right now. I don't want to get into, but this serious stuff. And Jared, of course, is working hard behind the scenes to find us another way to. Everybody just uses PayPal. They have them not. They make money off. They make money off of it. But see, it isn't about that. That's not what it's about, folks. It's, as Vinny just said, it's their attempt to totally and completely make us non-entities in society. And I think the reason tinfoil hat in hand, I think the reason that they do that is I think they know something bad is about to happen in regards to the political system and the evil world that they all swim in. And I think that they're trying to ban any outlet or discussion or anything like that through the use of the internet, Facebook, YouTube, PayPal, Google. It's all same stuff, man. This is real. It's real. And Alex Jones has been out in front of it. And what are you going to do if all of a sudden, what would you do if all of a sudden, what would I do if all of a sudden I could not raise funds? You guys couldn't contribute to Past Assault Ministries. What would happen to Past Assault Ministries? Well, we know what would happen, right? This is the war that's going on. And let me tell you this. They do not think they're going to win. They don't think it. Let me just give you a little test here, okay? In your circle of influence, in the people that you know, how many Republicans do you know who are going to go vote Democrat? As opposed to how many Democrats do you know who are going to vote Republican? Just use common sense. They're talking about the blue wave and all these Democrats are mad. And yet we see reports all the time that now Trump's support above in the black community is 39% approval in the black community. Hispanics are working. They are now flooding away from the Democratic Party. This stuff is all out there. And see, I think this whole, what's going on is all designed to give us a replay of 2 years ago when election day, they're going to scream and holler, oh, cheating, cheating. See, they're cheating out there. They cheated us. We know it was going to be a blue wave. All Nate Silver says it's 85%. We know it. We know it. They're cheating on us. Trump's cheating. That's what I think. To me, their only hope is civil eruption. That's the way I see it. So we got to go vote. No doubt about that. You got to go vote. But let's not be... I got something. I'm not ready to get there. I jumped ahead of myself here a little bit this morning. So let me pull back. And what do you think, man? Let me hear what you think about it. Say, Coach, this isn't the gospel. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Anybody? If not, I'll move on here.
Well, Coach, I believe that, these principalities and rulers and demons in high places, that's not the majority.
No,
but this is the power of PayPal. This is the power of Facebook. This is the power of your news networks. They're not the majority, but they're wicked powers in high places, and they're strangleholding because they're losing the war. Therefore, their wrath is being poured out.
That's what I see. And so every time I see one of these stupid commercials or things like that, I always say, my wife says, who can believe something like that? And then I name two people that I know believe it. So that's, see, we have got, this is the hardest thing for all of us. This is really the jumping off point for all of us. Friends, hear me. The Republican Party does not represent you. And the Democratic Party does not represent the people they claim to represent. It's all one big club. However, there is an eruption taking place in America today where the church can exert influence like the church has never before exerted influence. And I say, crush the God-hating left. Crush them. Now, you have friends who are Democrats and are voting Democrat, and you know that when you talk to them, it's like they're brain dead. You all understand what I'm talking about. They're not the enemy. They're not the enemy. See, they bought into the same lie that I used to believe. I used to sit in front of Fox News and watch O'Reilly and then Hannity and then whoever's. I spent 5 years of my life doing that, as did all of you. And I thought they were giving us the truth, fair and balanced and all that stuff. And so the people aren't evil. The people are programmed. And I'm going to tell you this. I think it's even more than that. I think something, tinfoil hat, let me get it, something demonic is going on to where people are being so deceived. It's a spiritual deception that's taking place. That people who live the same type of life that you live in, the same environment that you live in, can hold the same values that you hold, yet be so different than you when it comes to political things. I think there's a grave, grave deception that's going on. I think that's when we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And I'm going to tell you this. We're all going to die someday. And when we get on the other side, imagine this, Mark Trump. Imagine this, everybody out there has any type of scientific knowledge. Imagine getting on the other side, out of this world that we're in. When we go into that spiritual realm. Wow. Can you imagine the data connections that are probably going on in that spirit? I bet there's just wires running everywhere in that spiritual realm. Things connected to computers. And I mean, not figuratively. You understand what I'm saying? I think when we get in that spiritual realm, we're going to look around and say, oh my God, now I get it.
What? Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Mark.
Can you imagine looking back?
Oh, man. Yeah. Can you imagine looking back? Seeing how, oh my goodness, how that whole system was working against us and how the principalities and powers and that all power has been given unto us, both in heaven and earth. We didn't use it. We didn't understand. We didn't get the game. People don't understand the spiritual world, how it impacts the natural world. And I'm not sure that I do, but I believe it does. Yeah. Yeah, George.
Hey, Coach, good morning. You know, I think the frequencies are getting stronger and stronger out there. And
that's a good word, frequency.
And I think it really depends what frequency we're tuned into, because we're really seeing a divide where people are being programmed one way or the other because of those frequencies getting stronger and stronger. And I think that's why it's so important that we stay in fellowship and we stay tuned to the right frequency.
Okay, now I'm going to say this, and I'll get my tinfoil hat on my shoulder again here. Folks, if you don't realize that we're being poisoned with something, look up at the chemtrails, the food that we're eating. If we don't realize that, Mark, maybe you could help this, or maybe somebody's far smarter than me. I'm just using my own common sense. That we are ingesting, whether through stuff that they spray, whether it be stuff that they put in our food, whether it be chemicals when they're growing the plants, whatever it be. I believe that we are ingesting, for lack of a better term, chips. Now, I don't mean chips. I don't mean chips you put in your arm. But are we ingesting aluminum and barium? And are we ingesting things that are transmittable or receive transmissions? Is that what's going on? Is that why people seem to be so zombie-like and so programmed? And you look at the media, and the media is singing the same song over and over and over again. And so many people are being deceived, and so many people aren't being deceived. What do you think about that, Mark? Anybody? You think?
Coach,
yeah.
Yeah. Look at the people with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And they found aluminum deposits in their brain, which is heavy metal.
Right.
And how do they act? What do they think? What's their memory like? How's their fatigue? And then are we in the early onsets of that with trace doses? But yes, there's metal particles they're using. It's technology that companies, well-known defense contractors, have developed. There's evidence and contracts and patents. This is real. And then you got this stuff with Roundup and like you said, the stuff they're spraying on crops because of the chemtrails.
That's
they
right.
have to spray it on the crops so it won't kill the chemtrails. I mean,
think of this. Folks, think of this, right? So we ingest these things, and then we go from 1G to 2G to 3G to 4G to 5G. And, Mark, these things are electronic transmissions. These are waves that are moving throughout the world. And if we have ingested aluminum or some type of particle that picks up those waves or is impacted by those waves, Mark, this isn't crazy, is it? I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand how waves work, but I know this. I walk out of my house and I look and I see cell towers, and those cell towers are there because waves are going through the air, and it hits that tower, and that tower shoots that wave someplace else. So if I have ingested some aluminum, don't I become a charged? Am I not somewhat charged as a result of that?
Well, the real example that we all can relate to is anybody had a fuzzy AM radio and they touch their antenna and it clears up. In other words, our body is a conductor.
Mm.
Now, we know how to connect to our brain waves, and they know how to connect to our cellular frequencies like the Rife technology. Then why couldn't they simply increase the metallic components, increase the percentage of metal in our blood so that they have a more distant connection to us with something like 5G. I absolutely agree with what George was saying. They're learning how to use the frequencies but there's blacked out patterns all over the earth that I think they're going to be using satellite connections for.
Man.
And when the EMP comes, they're going to fall or not work, and then they're going to put more up there. But I think they're abandoning the hardwire approach of 5G because of all the EMP capabilities.
Sure.
You know?
Mark, we become transmitters. We don't understand that. We become transmitters.
Coach, we already are transmittable because we're 75% in water. What Mark was talking about with the aluminums, those things is to be able to send a safer signal. In other words, water and electricity, they don't mix. So you try to send a signal on that, you explode that signal, versus if you put the particles in the person, then through the wire. That's why you can put with wire inside that's insulated, you can put that underwater. Our bodies are 75% water. You try to send any kind of a signal onto something like that, it's not going to bounce off in that and send out a signal. It's going to explode that signal.
Amen. Okay, listen, hey, I don't want to camp on this. Okay, go ahead. I don't want to camp on this today. I got other stuff to talk about. But folks, this is real. Go ahead.
How many people here use antiperspirant?
Everybody does. Yeah, but we all do. That's right. Aluminum in that stuff, of course.
Yep. If you switch to regular deodorant, you don't get aluminum. But antiperspirant has aluminum dioxide.
Hmm.
Amen. Cosmetics.
Some kind of stuff that's natural, too. My wife, we've gone away from the aluminum because that's absorbed into your body.
So, folks, here's what I'm trying to say. We've become transmitters or receivers. All of us have. We've been poisoned in our environment. Now, whether it was done on purpose or not, they have figured it out. Whoever they are, they have figured it out, and they're using that. As I said, the food that we eat, Roundup, we can go on and on and on and on. So I believe this stuff is very, very real. I believe it's very real. And I believe, can I tell you something? I think Michael Savage wrote a book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. And I think he's true, but I think it's been controlled or caused by outside forces. I can't believe some of the things people, I just can't believe it. It's not even natural, right? I don't want to get buried on that, but let's not be ignorant of his devices. Let's not be ignorant of what's going on around us. You know, that's where I am with it. Okay, hang on, stop now, stop you guys. Who got us going on that one? Hang on, listen. I got to throw this out. We're going to be in Bethlehem, PA this weekend, Friday and Saturday. We're doing an event. The information's on our webpage. Jared's going to throw it up there real quick. Folks, we'd love to have you come. There's a contact. It would help us. We'd like to know if you're coming. Why? You say why? Well, we try to buy food. We want to make sure we have enough chairs. So if you're going to make it to Bethlehem, PA, can't you just send me an email? Say, Coach, I'll be in Bethlehem. I'm bringing Sarah and Billy with me. Just so we know. And Tanya's put a lot of work on it. Throw that up there for us. She knows folks who are coming, but I know there are other people that are coming. Mark Trump's coming. I know Mark's going to come. Gary's going to come down, I think. But I don't know. Is Bobby Lee going to come over for? I don't know. So if you guys are coming, just let us know that. Jared, I'm trying to find where. There it is. I'm sorry. There it is. Okay. Saturday, November 3rd, Hellertown, PA, just east of Allentown. And it's going to be from 9 until 3, about 3. Who knows when it will be done. We're going to feed you. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare. There it is. All the stuff's right there. There's them. Mark Trump. We're going to have Mark Trump get up there. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. If you're coming, have the decency to contact Tanya and let her know, or contact me and let us know. So this is our first flag in the ground out in that area. We'd love for you to be part of it. Okay? That's this weekend. I can't believe it's almost over. Issue number two. Folks, I have to say this in a try to see how I can say this in a nice way. We need some of you in Austin, Texas, November 9 and 10. And if you're going to Austin, Texas, November 9 and 10, would you let Chad know? Would you let him know? Because I'm making arrangements to be there as well, but I'm not going to be at Austin, Texas if there's only going to be 9 or 10 people there. We need 50 people. Now, Chad can hold an event without me. I've got a big event going on right here in our hometown that I could be part of. I don't have to fly to Austin, Texas to be part of this protest that outside Planned Parenthood in Austin, Texas. If you're going to, I'm not trying to twist your arm. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, boy. Not that. We just got to know. If you can make it, you can make it. If you can't, you can't. That's okay. But we have to know, because I have to make some decisions on my travel arrangements and a lot of things like that. So is Chad in here today? Chad, have I said that well enough for you, buddy? And you know, Chad, he's maybe not in here.
I'm in here.
Okay, Chad. I'm right, Chad?
Yeah, I'm in here. Dave, I'm just saying, look, I think there's some people, I don't know how to say it either.
Just say it. Look,
every day that you come to this show, it's just another conference. Okay, that's the great thing about this ministry. This is an activity-based ministry, not just talk, 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 and do nothing and just make you feel good and tickle your ears. This is about getting out, taking the information that you're getting here, and going out and making an application for it. Now, we committed ourselves nationally to come down here and to go down to the abortion clinic. And you're scared to go, then you overcome that by, look, I will protect you. Okay? If there's Antifa or whoever show up, they're not going to start nothing. We're not going to allow that. We're not going to be down there. We're not troublemakers. We're not going to, we're going to stand in the gap. That's what we're going to do. So don't be afraid to go to these clinics. They can't bite you. They can't eat you.
That's right.
They can't do anything to you.
Amen.
Okay? Look, we're covered by, you covered by the blood of the Lamb, or you're not. So you need to put some of this stuff to the test, because if the and other things we talk about on here. The economy collapses, the Russians come, we've got a Red Dawn event. Whatever happens, okay? That's not the time to be trying to exercise and learn faith. It's now.
Amen.
So when those things happen, you just put it into action right away. So look, we're counting on you to come in. If you're coming and have and plan on coming, like we said, I need to know that. I need to know who's coming and how many you're going to bring and what resources you need. If you need a hotel. Because, see, if people don't, people come and then suddenly I don't know they're going to be here, I could get them a better rate at the hotel. I could save you some money, $15, $20, whatever, a night at the hotel. If, you know, if you want to do that. So just, I got to have numbers in order to be able to do that. That's all I got, Coach.
We
got to
know that.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, Mark Trump, I know you're busting to come in there. Hang on. I'm going to get to it. So just stay there with me. Folks, if we can't, let us know, will you, if you're coming. It doesn't matter. We have a nice event going on here in Columbus, Ohio, that I ought to be at. But I've made the decision that we're scheduling this thing in Austin, Texas. I'm going to go to Austin, Texas. But I just need to know. If it's just 10 people, Chad can handle that. If it's, you know, so if you're coming, you're coming. Not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I'm in James chapter 2 because I'm heading somewhere today. I'm always heading somewhere. Always heading somewhere. I had a great conversation last night with Mark Trump. I'm going to let Mark come in here in a minute. I'm going to listen. I'm going to say this as nice as you can. Chad, because Chad, you just nailed it. This show, this isn't a conference. I mean, if that's all it is, if it's a show to get up in the morning to encourage you in your walk, I guess that's good. Praise the Lord. But that's not what this is about. It's not. This is a action, boots on the ground ministry. That is what we do. What we do. And we are trying to awaken pockets of Christians. I'm going to go to Iowa again tomorrow for another pocket of Christians that we're going to try to awaken. Now, I could sit on right here in my house, and I could do a lot just off of the internet. But I go. I look at the next 15 days of my life. God bless. Thank God, I got an understanding wife who's all in with me in this ministry. I'm not complaining. Please, I'm not woe is me and pat me on the back. What a good guy. And that's not what I'm talking about. This is an action ministry. We are trying, as Chad said, we're trying to train you now for what's coming. And if you will not step out of your comfort zone and go to an abortion clinic, if you can't do that, what's it going to be like when a gang of MS-13 are lined up down at the end of your driveway? And yeah, that may be coming. We're trying to put you into the game. We're trying to help you grow as Christians. That's why I am right now in James 2. I was coming down this morning, down the steps. I'll start calling those my holy steps down to the studio and get verse 14. This is all good. Read James. It's all good. It's all good, James is. But I got down to verse 13, and it says this. We shall have judgment without mercy. That showeth no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth after judgment. Judgment comes, then mercy. You cannot bring mercy before judgment. You cannot grant somebody a reprieve until they've been found guilty. The gospel must, first of all, find you guilty. When you are guilty, then you receive mercy. But we give mercy where there is no judgment. Do you see that right there? Mercy rejoices against judgment. For we shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. See, we're mercy. Everybody wants to do mercy, mercy, mercy without judgment. Stay with me. It says, what is a profit to you, my brother? Though a man says he hath faith and he don't have anything to show for it. And is faith saving? Are you saved? I understand it. Grace alone, by faith alone. You can't earn your way into heaven. I get it. But the same Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Same Bible does that. It's a working out of it. There's an activity to it. It talks about, beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice. What does that mean? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, the least you can do. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the way you think, the renewing of your mind. Something ought to happen to you when you become a Christian. And if you've been in this show for 2 years, something ought to be happening even deeper than that. What does it profit you, brothers, if you watch Coach Dave every day for 400 consecutive shows and don't have any works to show for it? What good does that do you? Can boy. Verse 15, here we are. Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says unto them, well, depart in peace, be warm and filled, brother. I'm praying for you. Notwithstanding, you don't do a daggone thing to help give them what they need? What the heck good is that? Paul says. Even so, if it hath not works, dude, it's dead. Your faith is dead if there isn't any works attached to it. Listen, I don't care what your pastor told you. He ain't doing any works except maybe inside the church. The world's gone to hell. We ought to have armies of Christians marching outside of our buildings. We ought to have armies out there. Oh, we have armies. We send them to Guatemala. We send them to Haiti. No, no. It's right there where you live. And if you're not doing it right where you live, I hate to tell you this, you got yourself some dead faith. Lexi Hall showed up yesterday, 24-minute video outside of Planned Parenthood. Now, I want to know where she's getting the cojones. Where is she getting it? Some 17-year-old girl. Where's she getting the cojones? She's seeing opposition. She emailed me. I wish I had her in here today. She emailed me the other day, says, Coach, I went to church and my pastor went up there and he talked about the grace of the Lord and he never mentioned sin, not one time, not one time. And I wanted to stand up and scream. And I'm saying, this is a 17-year-old girl. Probably. 18. Yeah, a man may say, that's a faithful brother. Oh, he's that brother's got strong faith. But he doesn't have any works. I show you his faith without your works, and I'm going to show you my faith by my works. I'm going to show you how I believe by what I do. Yeah, come on in.
Hey, just real quick. You know, I think what you're talking about, it's called personal responsibility. And, you know, the old saying, we judge other people by their actions and our own selves by our intentions. You know, that's the easiest thing to do. But when you're in leadership like a pastor, boy, I tell you, you meet violent opposition when you point out an area that they're lacking in. Because you know what? It takes a big person, Coach, you know this, to look at your own life and say, Lord, I do repent. I need to make some changes because I am falling short in this area. And most pastors just won't do it.
You can't teach what you haven't done. You cannot teach what you haven't done. We can't even get him to show up at the daggone flagpole. Right? Same with me. I'm not done. Bear with me here a second.
Amen.
Amen. They won't even show up at the flagpole. Won't even come out and pray at a flagpole. Show me your faith. Thou believest, yea, a man can say, oh, I'm a strong Christian and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? Well, God bless you, brother. God bless you. You do well. Devils believe that. They're smart enough to be afraid. You're not even afraid. But how about you, oh vain man? What's vain? Remember vain from Webster's? Empty, meaningless, without any substance. Will you, oh empty man? Don't you know, oh empty man, that faith without works ain't even faith?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What if Jesus hadn't came off that hill after praying? What if he didn't do anything?
What if he was still in the garden praying? Huh? God so loved the world, he did something. Okay, so hang on there, Mark. I had a great conversation with Mark Trump last night. I think it encouraged me, Mark. I want you to know that. I appreciate it. I appreciate. I'm going to tell you guys right now. I have such great, deep, abiding love for some of my brothers in this queue. I can't even put it in the world. Respect and love for some of you. I can't say all of you because I don't know all of you. But we spoke the other day about faithful men getting out and do something. And Mark called me last night, and Mark Trump went from Virginia, drove down with Gary Donahoe. Gary drove down from up Pennsylvania, met Mark, and they drove together. Mark drove 12 hours, 11 or 12 hours. Gary drove probably 18 hours. They went down to met Jim Kraft down in Panama City or wherever it is down there. And Mark called me last night, and he just went on and on and on. I said, Coach, tell him, Mark. Tell him what you told me, what that experience did for you.
Well, I'll start with the end. This is this opened my eyes, because what I've learned is that we only think prepared. And I'll go ahead and start by saying I'm unprepared. I went down there and those people were unprepared. And the devastation was completely shocking even to us. So think about when it happens next to you, or what happens when your home or all of your family's homes, 10 cousins, aunts, uncles, and all of their homes are destroyed. Who's going to be strong? This ministry prepares us for what's going to happen to us personally. But you got to go see it. You got to be hardened by what's happening. It's beyond my explanation, Coach. It's just, I think Gary and Jim, Gary and me, this is our first time. Jim, he's seen this. So luckily we have men who have went before that can be out there with us. But it was beyond amazing.
It changes you, doesn't it, Mark? It changes you.
It changed us. It changed us. And the first thing we saw when we drove up to the church was the amount of effort that was poured into that area. The number of cars waiting to get into help from all over the country. It was works. And who talks about works? Y'all go ahead and talk about works and they're not needed, right? But how are you going to do it when it happens to you? Without going and doing the works, you're going to be ill-equipped just like I was. Go and do. Make it a priority. I would encourage each one of you to go see one of these to harden your heart for the minimal amount of devastation that we're seeing now compared to end times.
Mark, that's a great term that you've used. You've used it a couple times. Harden your heart. Because just like at first, like Chad, I think of Chad as a cop. How many fatalities would you come upon as a cop before you were able to deal with it? I mean, guys that aren't able to deal with it, they call it post-traumatic stress disorder, right? So now Mark Trump and Gary have gone to the disaster area and their heart has been hardened, not hardened in that they don't care, hardened in that their heart's not going to break as easily. They're going to be more prepared when the next one comes, or when it comes to their neighbor. Yeah. Going to be more prepared. They're going to be somebody who's going to be able to stand up and say, that's all right. I've seen this before. I know how this works. Let propel people into action. Is that what you're saying, Mark, about hardening your heart?
Amen. And I can look around and I could explain about all the devastation and the impact. But most of that storm, most of the impact happened inside me. I've changed.
Amen.
I've not been working. I've not been doing. I need to do more. And people who think they're doing and they're sitting in their homes, think about what Jesus did. Compare your works to Jesus. We are supposed to model ourselves after him. He paid the ultimate price. What are you doing? Now, each of us have gifts. You got to look at your gifts. What can women do? They can't chainsaw necessarily in the top of a tree, but they can cook. What can men do with disabilities? There were all kinds of men in knee braces, and there were teams of people. There's stuff you can do. This church was a city block, and they had trucks and machines and people on every entrance and exit working. And there were many, many churches that brought people in. We were just one. And, you know, it was just three of us, but we touched a handful of lives. You know, maybe went to five or six sites, but those lives are changed because of us, because we went. And we got to witness to them. We got to talk to them. We got to open the door. What I plan to do, listen to this, Coach, what I plan to do is get the numbers from Jim and call these people back after a week. And I want to touch base with them. I want to be somebody they remember for a period of time, and I want to encourage them. And eventually, hopefully, we can water the seed we've planted. Hopefully, they can maybe begin working down there with us. I don't know, but I'm just saying we can do more. Each of us can do more if you look at it.
So, Mark, see, amen, Mark. Listen, folks, it's not just about the hurricane. It's the same thing with how many of you, me included, have actively worked to get people to the polls? How many of you actively worked to help Larry with STAB? How many of you actively worked to have done anything? How many of you actively have worked against abortion? How many of you actively worked against the gay agenda in your schools? How many of you have actively opposed the reading to their children by the transgenders in your public libraries? These little battles are everywhere, and I hate to tell you this, they're all works. Now, works don't get you in heaven. Works are evidence you're on your way. This, Chad's right. This isn't just a seminar. This is a training. This is a classroom. This is an equipping. Get out of your stinking comfort zone. Oh, boy. I love all of you.
Amen, Coach.
I love all of you, man. I do. I mean,
Coach, is you being a coach, you can watch all the game film, you can have all the practices, but nothing compares to the experience of playing the game on the field of life. And yes, the flood reliefs and all of these things, they do help us. But then, like you said, when you go out in front of the abortion clinic, when you begin to engage in these national rallies, there's another spectrum to this, because the Helps Ministry and Mercy Ministries are fantastic. But what do you do when the resistance comes? That's when you know, when you've been to the abortion clinic and you've had guns pulled on you and things thrown in your face and been arrested. That's the other side of the coin, too, that we need to be battle tested in.
Dale, if, you know, when the crap hits the fan, I'm looking at something over here. Who's gonna say that's it? As Mark said, my heart's been hard. I'm okay. Hey, here's what we need to do. Here's what we need to do. And it's always the same. And as I said, I'm just going to use disaster. I don't care if you go to Panama City. I don't care. It'd be a great blessing for you, but I don't care. Because it changes you. It changes your heart. And what I always see when I go to these things is the great opportunity for all these blowhard pastors to talk about how we have to love one another and serve one another. And they ain't nowhere to be found. They're nowhere. And Christians are nowhere.
Dave, I just want to say that, you know, down at Port Arthur, we were down there with our operation down there for 11 weeks. There was 105 churches there, and not one of them stopped out and dished out one hamburger to anyone. Not one hamburger. 105 churches.
Amen.
That's my thought.
Hey, I'm with you. So you heard Mark Trump's heart. Mark's going to go back down there. I'm going to be down there. I'm flying down on the 5th. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I think that's when it is. I'm going to be down there. Jim Kraft's going to be down there. Gary Pierce is going to go with me. If some of you want to go and have a good old time of fellowship and getting to know each other, get a hold of us. We'd love for you to get there, and we'll try to help you with some of your expenses. And I've been having some issues. But it's been because I've been so busy. That sounds crazy, but that's true. And hang on a second. And I'm not technically savvy in some of these areas. I haven't been able to get out enough emails showing what's going on. We ought to be raising more money because the needs are greater and get more and more people down there. Because remember, folks, as Mark Trump is saying, this is a training ground, man. This is a training ground for the real thing that's coming. Go ahead, Dale.
Hey, Coach, it was me, George.
Okay, George.
You know, I love it. This morning you're in a coaching mode, and it makes me feel like I'm back playing sports again, and it's crunch time. It's fourth quarter, and you know what? We gotta either win or not. And you know, winners respond, losers don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how it is. And Coach, you remember my good friend Terry Taylor?
Yeah.
Friday night you did the men's leadership, and
yep.
you guys went to bed, and I asked Terry, what do you think? You know, he was a middle linebacker for North Carolina. He said, man, I felt like I was back playing middle linebacker at Carolina again. And so, Coach, I love it. I love it. What you're doing this morning is coaching, and you know what? We need that. There's a big place for coaching. And I know we have a bunch of winners out there that are going to respond.
And we're just trying to give you a chance to play. And Lowell just put in here, everyone has a plan. Mike Tyson said everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And that's one of the things that Mark Trump didn't go into, that he had the conversation last night with me, explaining to me really and truly how unprepared he is. He's real. If we would all admit it, we are all unprepared. For disaster right where we live, we are unprepared. And that's one of the training things that we're trying to put you into. David Arthur put some time together last night, putting together. See, I started to say I haven't been able to get on the email, and I'm not all real techy sometimes to create videos. People have donated money to us, and they don't even know that we're doing anything. It's been my fault. David yesterday grabbed that bull by the horns, says, Coach, I'll start working on some of this video. Jared, go ahead and play. We may not watch all of it because it runs about 8 minutes, but this is a video. Folks, listen. I'm not trying to get you to go to Florida. I'm showing you this is an example of what Christianity looks like. Sometimes it's mercy ministry, helping these people. Sometimes it's rescue ministry at the clinics. Sometimes this is what Christianity looks like. This is why I'm not going to church. Go ahead, Jared. Tip of my cap. Jim, I think Jim Kraft, God bless Jim Kraft. He made all these videos, and I think sent them to me, and David put them together for me yesterday.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, before you play that, this is Jim. I just got on here.
You're breaking up, Jimmy.
I haven't picking up, and they're not returning my calls. So I need those guys to call me back and let me know if they're coming and when they're coming and all. Just
okay,
to get that out.
Do that again, Jim, because you broke up.
I need the guys to call me back, the guys I'm trying to get a hold of, the guys that said they wanted to come, and they know who they are. There's about five or six of them, and I've been trying to get a hold of them by phone, and they're not answering their phone, or their message thing is full, or I've left them messages, and I just need them to get back to me.
Okay. Jared, I'm sending it. Jim Kraft's a hero. Jim Kraft is a hero, and he doesn't want patted on the back. He doesn't want anything other than he understands. He's done this enough, he understands. He gets it. He says, other people don't get it, I'm going to go show them. I got to go show them. I got to help coach them. Jim's a coach. He was a coach his whole life. This is Jim Kraft is simply Romans 12, presenting his body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is his reasonable service. He put his own desires aside, his own plans aside. He did whatever. He said, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to do what I can. I can't expect Coach to be everywhere. I can't expect Coach to do everything. I'm going to go down there and do it. I salute Jim Kraft, even though he doesn't want me to say anything about it. And he's down there. He's going to remain down there and he needs some help. Jared, did you get that? Yeah, I just sent that to you.
Jared, I just added you to the, so that you can do it. So go to your email and it's right there.
I just sent it to you, Jared. All you gotta do is click on the one I just sent.
Yeah,
you.
He couldn't click on that one, Coach, because it was a private video.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha.
I shared it with him in his email just now.
Oh, okay, there you go. I got you, David. Made sense now. It's a okay. My bad. Well, he could. Oh boy, we'll get it up here because there's great stuff going on. So I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, although I hope you do.
No, it's boots on the ground, Coach.
Boots on the ground, man. We all got an excuse. I got plenty of reasons not to go. Jared, I don't understand why I couldn't send him the same link you sent me and have it work.
I did just send it to him. Not the link in the email for the e-blast, for the email blast, Jared. I just added you.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, we got 10. I think this is important. So again, what I was saying, our relief efforts haven't gone real good. They've gone good. Don't get me wrong. But they ought to be more expanded, and it's because I haven't been able to get stuff out. Now I got some videos. We can shoot it out and show people exactly what's going on. So there's Jim Kraft, Gary Donahoe, and Mark Trump standing out in front of some big trees. And go ahead and play this thing. David Arthur. Jimmy Kraft took all these videos, and David put it together. Jared, move a little bit to one of the interviews.
Got it. Hey, my name's Charlie Jones. I'm down here in the beautiful city, or was, of Glen Haven, Florida. And I'd like to thank Pastor Salt Ministries for helping me get my tree off of my damaged roof. They've done a great deal in our community, and they've gone around and helped everybody whenever they needed to. So I'd like to give out a big thanks to them for helping me and my neighbors get our stuff taken care of. Appreciate it.
Hello, my name is CJ Allen. I've been in Panama City for about, how long have I been here? Since 1964. It's the first time I've ever had to evacuate because of a hurricane. This is a trailer, if you can't see what it is. It belongs to my friend, and I've been caretaker for over 2 years, and this is the first time I've had to evacuate it. I was not here when this happened. God was good to me because most of the trees fell on the outside of the trailer, with only maybe one limb on the top that James found, and a couple of holes below this floor level. But I feel blessed because it, as far as I know right now, it's repairable, and God blessed me through that. Some of my other friends have total losses, partial loss. And I believe that God spared me this, and because he's been my Lord all my life. God never said we were going to have an easy life. He said he was going to be there with us through everything. And I fully believe that he was here with us during this. Because I mean, when you have only 20 deaths in your whole county so far, when it could have been thousands. I don't know, for those of you who don't believe, you better take a second look, because catastrophe may be coming to you.
There's Jimmy. Forwarded to the next interview. A lot more devastation. It all looks the same after a while. Look, get these two.
Anthony, just tell us what it's been like to have to live through this.
It's the most horrible thing I've ever went through. devastating.
I've never been through something like this, and it's heartbreaking, you know?
Yeah.
All of the people have died in Mexico and Mexico Beach.
Yeah. And you were telling us about being in your car. Tell us about that.
Well, we were in the car, and we were trying to go to Pensacola, and we didn't get far enough, and they made us turn around. And we went to a shelter and couldn't get in, and we sat in the car for 18 hours during the storm.
In the car for 18 hours.
And what did the storm do to your car?
It damaged a lot of the paint job.
But it was picking it up?
Yes, sir. It was picking it up.
And going sideways, too.
Yeah, it's scary.
So what do you think? How was it when you came back and saw the mess?
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. We thought our home was going to be destroyed. My mom's home. We thought it was going to be real.
You had trees down here probably on every... You got several outbuildings, and you had trees down on all your outbuildings. You had trees on your house. You had trees fall on your property from other property. It was a mess, wasn't it?
It was very much a mess, and thanks to y'all, passed us off.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you've helped so much, you just don't know.
Well, it's been our pleasure to help you, and all because the Lord Jesus Christ lives in our heart. That's why we're here. Yeah. So,
anyway. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And he lives in our heart, too.
Amen. Amen to that. Lord bless you. Thank you now.
Amen. There's more of it. And we got to get this thing out so people can see. And so we're still committed to being down there. We'd love for some of you to come and join us. But I said to my wife the other day, you know, I'm getting ready to fly out to Iowa again tomorrow. And, you know, you may think it's glamorous. It is glamorous till you do it a lot. Get out and rent a car and drive and then go and then get back in line and then go through the TSA and then sit in the airport and then get on the plane and people are coughing around you and then get off the plane and change planes and run through the airport. And it doesn't get to be glamorous after a while. And you know what Michelle said to me? As only Michelle can do it. She says, will you stop it? Will you stop it? This is what you've wanted your whole life. She said to me, and that's the truth. My whole life, I've wanted to motivate men to do greater things. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. And so I salute Jim Kraft because he picked up the ball when I couldn't carry it. I couldn't.
Amen.
Do it.
Amen.
And the way this whole thing is supposed to work is I'm supposed to be able to get you the ball so you can do something. You can carry the ball, not me. This just becomes another church if I'm the guy always carrying the ball.
Hey, Coach.
I want any more of that. Yeah, Mark.
What happens if a quarterback hands off and the running back don't take the ball? What happens?
It ain't good. It ain't good. That's right. So I'm standing there holding that ball saying, won't somebody take this thing? Somebody please take this thing. Here's a hole you can run through.
Hey, Coach.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen a coach get on the field and play.
They throw him off. Only during timeout.
He's the one that's calling the shots.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
Hey, Coach. You know, Coach, I've told you this before, but I wouldn't be on this show every morning if you were the only one doing everything, because it would just be a business as usual, and I can go anywhere in Tulsa and get business as usual.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Our churches are full of business as usual. Full of. And the gospel opportunities. You don't have to go to Haiti. You can go right outside your door. But you sure don't have to go to Haiti when you can go to Panama City. And if you're interested in going, you get a hold of me. We'll help you get down there. We're raising money. We'll help you get down there to do that. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. Folks, I'm trying to teach you to play. That's all. I'm trying to teach you to play. And I feel bad because I haven't been able to get down there, but Jim's carried the ball for me. I'm getting back from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and I'm going to Monday morning, Gary Pierce and I are flying out, and we're heading down there. We're going to be down there 4 days next week. Love for you to come and join us if you can. We'll help you get down there. If not, there's a million things going on. Huh? We got Hell's Hall of Fame going on. We got a lot of things going on. This is a show where we train you to put your faith into action. What's it say? Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. He says, go ahead, dude. Show me your faith, and I'm going to show you my works. Faith without works is dead. God bless y'all. Mark, thank you, Mark. Thank you. Thank you, Jim Kraft. Thank you, George. Thank all of you guys that are out there faithfully fighting the fight. It's a war, baby. Let's engage. God bless you. See you tomorrow.